How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you get back, you're getting back in like the middle of the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, you're thrown off for like the whole week, you know, with your routines and your times. He's like, so teams that play a lot of primetime games have to try to adjust to that. And that plays a role. He thinks like, you know, the way the schedule comes out, how many prime times, how many times you're playing, not at Sunday at 1 o'clock when you're used to. The Eagles only played 3 1 o'clock games last year. And you wonder how much that ended up affecting them.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Wednesday edition of Birds 365, a schedule release day edition. Joined now by Mike Gill from 97.3 ESPN down the shore. Mike, welcome to the show, man. How you doing today?
Morning, fellas. What's going on?
Michael, how excited are you?
Got my Eagles mug. That's how excited I am. Yeah, my Eagles mug. I'm so excited.
Logistics, very exciting stuff.
I do like the schedule release for a couple of reasons. I mean, some of it are work related. I told my girlfriend she wants to go on vacation in the fall. I said, I need to wait for the Eagles schedule to come out and check the bye week. Maybe I'll take off when the Eagles have a bye. But yeah, like, you know, I think people get excited about planning their trip. You know, you start to plan ahead for a fall vacation and it's built around where the Eagles going to be. They have an interesting road schedule this year. You've got chances to go to LA, Tampa, New Orleans, you know, places that are a little warmer. So you're always trying to find out so that people can plan. If the game's in December when it's a little cold here, I'd like to go to Tampa. So I get it. I'm on board. The thing is, the sizzle of it lasts, you know, for only so long. I mean, it comes out tonight. By the next day, you're kind of gone over it Friday. And then, you know, the one thing that's interesting, last night, Caitlin Clark played WNBA. She played in the national championship like a month ago.
Yeah.
And a month later, they've got the right formula if you can sustain that. You get the girls in the final game and then on the court a month later. You're waiting 6 months to see these guys drafted. You forget about who's where and when. So, yeah, the schedule's great. It comes out. It helps a lot of fans plan their trip. But it's still a ways off before you get to actually see all this happen.
Yeah. But I would argue that's to the NFL's advantage over your example, because part of the reason the NFL is the NFL is the scarcity of it. Everything else is, you know. Yeah, the Phillies are playing again, and if they're not, they're playing the next day. There's 162 of them, 82 in basketball, on and on and on. There's too much of that to the point where now people are saying, well, the regular season doesn't mean anything. Then you go to the playoffs. And the NFL, they all mean something. And I've been saying this all week, Mike. Only thing we know for sure right now is week one, 8:15, San Paulo, Brazil, Eagles, Packers. That's the worst possible result for the Eagles to give up that home game for the reason, you know, and I say that knowing a division rival, Dallas, is not going to be there. You know that they're not going to move that game. So when you factor in the games that could have been moved, Green Bay is probably the worst. Because you're going to be fighting that team for potential playoff seeding. It's a very good team. If everything goes correctly for both teams, there's not tons of injuries. You know, they're both going to be in it. And you're giving up a home game.
This is similar to when the Eagles won the Super Bowl and they played Atlanta in the wild card game. The next year they opened with Atlanta. And it was like that week one game was – could be for home field advantage, you know, because you figured Atlanta would be right there with you. Now, they ended up not having a very good year, but Philadelphia is now Atlanta. Green Bay is similar to where Philadelphia was, where they were, you know, a couple plays away from potentially being a Super Bowl team. So it's a huge game. I actually, you know, you look at that and you lose that home game. You have to play in Sao Paulo. I don't know. Is Green Bay going to travel as much as the Eagles? I would imagine the place is going to be packed with Eagles fans. Is Green Bay going to travel over there?
Green Bay is a traveling team, man. Yeah,
I know, but man, that's a trip from Green Bay to Brazil. That's a long one, man.
If you ask me who travels better than the Eagles, it's a very short list.
Right.
And Green Bay's on it. Although, I don't know, it's similar to Dallas. I don't put Dallas ahead of the Eagles because Dallas fans tend to be all over. It's not necessarily traveling. You got these weirdos who glom on to America's team from back in the day. So they have clusters of fans throughout the country. Green Bay's a little bit like that from the perspective. It's an interesting team because obviously it's a small market, but they have this weird sort of national following that developed. But let's be honest. I mean, they've had Hall of Fame quarterback play for 30 consecutive years. So people like good teams. They were always good and people grew up with that. And then now they have a bunch of fans.
I got to imagine though, that the Eagle fans are going to,
they're going to show out. They're going to show out. I'm sure they're going to show out.
There's going to be, that's a good. I'm glad you brought that up. If you say who's going to have more fans, I'm going to say Green Bay.
So I'm not discounting Green Bay. I know what you're saying. They do have a following, but man, I mean, there's like seven Eagles travel groups. I mean, is there seven Green Bay Packer travel groups packing planes up to bring to Brazil? I mean, I don't know, man. It's a 12-hour jaunt from here to Brazil. I mean,
yeah, it's a very difficult trip. Well, I think it's going to be very difficult for Eagles fans as well.
I think it's a 9:15 p.m. game too. It's
8:15
local time.
Well, Eastern time. Yeah, they're an hour ahead of us.
Yeah.
It's 9:15 down there.
Yeah.
Well, that's nothing. The time game isn't affecting the travel there. I've looked into it. We've actually talked about going. It's a long ordeal. And then to come back, the travel time, the time difference is only an hour. It's only an hour ahead. So the time difference is not a big problem. It's the length of the travel.
Yeah.
Is a long travel day for just a 1 hour time difference.
Well, it's not good for fans. It's not good for fans from the perspective of, it's going to be very expensive for them. It's going to be long travel. You're giving up a home game against a good opponent. In no way is it good for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Does the team travel down there, John?
They haven't decided yet, but all indications are they're going in for the game and out.
Normally there's like a media tour. The team goes.
Yeah. They used to do that a lot. You used to have to, when you had a London game, when they first started the London games, you used to have to go for the whole week. And they
imagine they're going to have to do the whole media and everything. It's going to be a deal. And that's why I said, I know there's a lot of murmurs about the Eagles week two being on Monday night. It does make sense because the Phillies have a home game on Sunday and they're on the road on Monday. So you would think that they don't want the conflict with the home game. So the Eagles get to come home and possibly play on I think week two would be – yesterday I did a prediction of where every game will fall. I have 7 1 o'clock games, which you only had three.
That ain't happening.
Well, listen, you had three last year. I think you got 7 this year, 4 at 4 o'clock, 2 on Monday, 2 on Sunday night, and
I
1 on – I
hope you're right. I pray you're right.
One on Thursday. I think I'm predicting week two will be Eagles, Jaguars, Monday night, Jason Kelce, the sit down with Doug Peterson, rehashing the Super Bowl.
That's not a bad thought.
That's your Monday night football.
I thought the Jaguars game was at the end, though. No, didn't they already put that out there? The Eagles?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I'm on the Eagles website. Who are the Eagles' 24 opponents? It says the 17th game will be against former head coach Doug Peterson.
No, interconference opponent, the 17th game. Go State.
Yeah, So I had Baltimore and Jacksonville as your two Monday nighters, Dallas and Cincinnati as your two Sunday nighters. You're going to get Washington on Thursday night and 7:01. So it's going to be a good schedule this year. That's my prediction.
Well, you're definitely getting Dallas on Sunday
night. Yeah, no question.
One of the two games. So that's good. That's certainly a good prediction. They're going to have a lot of night games, primetime games, because they draw and they're a good team. And yeah, 1 o'clock games, which I want every week, all 18 weeks.
Devin would be great for us working in the, covering the team.
Last year was brutal. They had three 1 o'clock games last year. That's it.
And remember, flex scheduling now is more liberal as well. So even this stuff is not locked in.
Yeah, they got the flex last year against Seattle. They went from the Sunday, 4:25 to Monday night, the Seattle game last year. They ended up playing on Monday night five times last year with that flex. Yeah, and then the playoff
last
game.
Last season schedule was
brutal. Well, going to Colin Thompson had told me before, like the players, they like playing on Monday night. But doing it too much, like it does kind of like mess up their routines and their schedules. Yeah, and he was telling like stories about how, when you go to play Monday night, let's say he played in Carolina and you might have to play at Seattle or a different time zone. When you get back, you're getting back in like the middle of the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, you're thrown off for like the whole week, with your routines and your times. He's like, so teams that play a lot of primetime games have to try to adjust to that. And that plays a role, he thinks, like, the way the schedule comes out, how many prime times, how many times you're playing, not at Sunday at 1 o'clock when you're used to. The Eagles only played 3 1 o'clock games last year, and you wonder how much that ended up affecting them.
I think it's cheaper at the start of the season, too. If they start in Brazil, it's a late game in Brazil. They got to travel back. And then, Jeff, I don't know if it's not guaranteed yet, but if that week two is a Monday night game, which Jeff Kerr kind of insinuated they have a little bit of a layoff, they're not going to be able to get into that schedule, Mike, that you talked about, really until week three or maybe even after week three.
Oh, yeah. And I say 7 1 o'clock games mainly because you have a lot of games against teams because they're playing the NFC South. So there's not like marquee teams, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta and Carolina. I mean, Carolina, you have to almost assume is a 1 o'clock. Yeah. Atlanta's not a big draw. Tampa's kind of meh. And same with New Orleans. So you look at those games, playing that division. Now, the other division that you're playing, the AFC North, which has Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, that's four opportunities. All four of those could be primetime games where I think Pittsburgh will be a 4:25 game. But Cincinnati and Baltimore certainly could be a prime time. I think Cleveland is an interesting one because they're kind of a, an interesting team, not the biggest market, but has a pretty good following. The division playing the NFC South this year, though, I think sets you up for more 1 o'clock game. And then I think you'll get Washington probably at 1 o'clock and the two Giant games you probably might get at 1 o'clock unless Amazon Prime might say, hey, can you throw us an NFC East game? All right, you get Philadelphia, Washington, the one that is like the lowest of the group. That's your NFC. But Prime, they're getting that game, Bills, Dolphins, to start their year off. So you can kind of see how they're, giving them a division game.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I joked this morning on social media that this is the time of year where all 32 fan bases unite. It's a beautiful moment because they all think they get screwed by the league. The league doesn't care about anybody. What they care about is satisfying their TV partners. And they
I will tell you one other thing.
TV partners, Mike.
You're right about that, John. But one other nugget on that, too, is to keep in mind the NFL, like you get to put your request in. You can put like, hey, we want week 11 as our bye. And they don't have to honor it, but you could put that in. You could put all like you got to put like your dates in that have conflicts. Hey, there's a concert at our stadium. The NFL has to be cognizant that the Phillies might be in the World Series in October or playoff baseball. So the Eagles could have some road games. Like you might see a 3 week in a row road trip. It's somewhere in there because
of that.
People
don't understand it. It might be a Taylor Swift concert somewhere. It might be something else. It might be a they have all these issues they have to deal with. And yes, playoff baseball is a potential one in Philadelphia.
I did the research on September. The Phillies have one Sunday home game during the NFL season, but it's week like two. And that Monday night, they're on the road. So that's why I think a lot of people were looking at that Monday night as a home Monday night football
game. Yeah, plus they want to give them the extra. But yeah, that trip is tough, yeah, as we said. So, you know, yeah, and that's an indication where they will try to probably help the Eagles, if anything. But Eagles are in demand. It's better to be in demand than not all in right, demand.
Let me ask you guys and the people watching. I am out this year on the Christmas Day and the Thanksgiving. I'm over the holiday games. I want no more holiday games.
I'm definitely out on Christmas on a Wednesday.
I've been out on them. Part of me wonders if I'm just being selfish because I don't want to cover the damn game on Christmas Day.
Listen, even if I just like last year, we're at my cousin's house and the game's on. It's a lousy game, you know, the Giants, but like no one's paying attention. You get 17 of these. I want to be able to be in it. I want to be able to watch it and pay it. I can't pay attention. I'm trying to take notes. My uncle's talking to me. My aunt's asking me questions. I'm done with the holiday games. I don't mind the NFL putting games on, and they're on in the background. Oh, what's the score? Okay. I don't want the Eagles on the prime time holidays anymore. Black Friday, no thank you.
Yeah. Black Friday, yeah. That's it. People keep lining up because TV as a whole is declining rapidly. Cable is getting destroyed on a monthly basis, losing customers. The only thing that holds up is NFL football. So everybody's getting in line. And now you have Netflix to deal with.
And then they took the Saturday. So if you are playing on Christmas Day, you will also play Saturday the 21st. So the four teams on Christmas are also playing Saturday the 21st. So you would have a Saturday game followed by a Christmas Day Wednesday game.
So that's why, look, I agree with you when you bring up the difficulty of playing, and Colin brought up from a player's perspective, the difficulty of playing night game, day game, you know, going back and forth. You can't get that structure. You know, one thing about the NFL, you have that week, a normal week, which is becoming less and less normal for the Eagles. You know, Wednesday's a big practice. Then you get Thursday. Then you get the Friday. Well, you have that consistency, and that's good for the team. And then it gets jumbled all over the place. But guess what? It's not changing. Everybody, every good team has to deal with that because they're all going through the same thing. And they all are going to be on national TV a lot. The Cowboys have been going through it for years and years and years. Got to deal with it or don't deal with it. But you can't use it as an excuse. I will say that.
No, yep. Look, there's a handful of marquee teams that draw Philadelphia, the NFC East. I mean, if you're in that NFC East, you're getting those games. Even if you're the Giants in Washington, you're going to get some primetime games just because your market, the draw you are. You mentioned Green Bay. Pittsburgh's kind of another one in there. That's why that Pittsburgh-Philly game, I think CBS will probably try to grab that game and put it on at 425. Dallas is another one. The Raiders kind of used to be there. I don't know. Are they still in that kind of window? You see Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. I would imagine they've already got a London game. They've got the Monday night game. The international
games are out. I should have mentioned that.
Yes, the international games are official. The London, the Munich, the Brazil.
Good week one game for the Jets. They're playing the 49ers in San Francisco on a Monday night. That's going to be a good start.
Aaron Rodgers and going back, you know.
Well, and Jeff Kerr was on with me yesterday, and you know, he tweeted this out, which made me think about having him to talk about it, is there's a stretch where the NFL has a game on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. I mean, it's like almost every day of the week. And, you know, I don't know that anybody thinks it's going to be overkill and how much is too much. But, man, you get to a point where there's a game on every single day almost. You wonder how much the NFL thinks they're going to get away with. And we talked about the international games. When they go to 18 games, which is going to happen, I would imagine you're going to have an international game the entire schedule. Every week you might have a game, and you know there's a different game over there with the two byes. It makes it a lot easier to get teams to go over there and play when you have two byes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, from we all talk from a working perspective, and for people that have to work the game, it's certainly better at 1 o'clock. But if your favorite team has a bunch of 1 o'clock games, that's not a good sign for your team.
Yeah, it means your team sucks.
Yeah, they don't
pretty much
your team. So it's a catch 22. But the, yeah, it's where we are.
Real quick to the holiday point, Mike. When you're an Eagle fan, forget us covering the team. When you're an Eagle fan, every week is a holiday when the Eagles play. You get your buffalo chicken dip. You get your drinks. You get the couch set up. When it's holidays, like you said, you got your aunt, your uncles talking to you, everybody. There's noise in the house.
I would have to imagine that. Look, when the Eagles play, it's a boost to the local community and the economy. I mean, you go out, you get pizza, you get wings, absolutely. You go to the bar. On Thanksgiving, you're not doing that. You're making Thanksgiving dinner. Christmas, most likely, the economy doesn't get that boost, that jolt when your That's team is playing on that day because you're at home cooking dinner with people. So I think that the business owners probably aren't huge fans. You know I do my show through the football season. I'm on the road twice a week at two different locations, and I always ask them like about the holidays. They're like, no, we don't want to be on the holidays. Now, both of them are at the casino, so the casino's open, but they're not getting nearly the same traffic to watch those games on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day as they would if the Eagles played on a normal day. So the Eagles run the roost, but because they run the roost, the NFL wants them in the highest profile game. So I'm wondering if they're going to be stuck on a Christmas again, which means, as I said, if they play Christmas, they're also playing Saturday. And there's nothing I hate more than Saturday NFL games. They just don't feel the same. They don't have the same intensity.
Well, Wednesday certainly doesn't feel the same. Not that I the whole thing. It's but it's not changing.
So. No, it's not. And I'll listen. Yeah. They put the Black Friday game in last year, which, okay, Black Friday, give me a game. I'm cool with that. Where are they going to find another day where they can stick a game in so that Netflix can get a game and Apple TV Plus can get a game and Hulu can get a game and Peacock can get – I mean, where are they going to stick another random day where they can start owning that?
Yeah. Well, I don't like Thursday.
What is football. The day – like high school football ends. Are they going to do the Friday night, you know, game of the week for like the last month of the season when high school, because they don't play Fridays because of high school. The only Friday game is this Eagle game. And they're saying that's because it's before and it's late enough at night. They're saying that they're kind of past the high school threshold, but that rule, there's a law in place that they can't play on Friday night.
You know, and you talked about the Saturday games, and the NFL has deferred to college football, obviously, for years, and they wait until the college football season pauses between the end of the regular season and the bowl games, and then they play on Saturdays. Hey, guess what? They said they were going to play on Christmas Day on a Wednesday, you know, and they used to pay deference to the NBA, and they no longer do that. Well, if the checks get big enough,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
they'll put high school football right out of business. They don't care.
Well, the high school football thing, like, but I could see it like high school football. I know I'm in Jersey, so they don't really even play up to Thanksgiving anymore.
They have short season.
That's pretty much they've shortened the season. You have playoffs after Thanksgiving, but the Friday night every week ends. Right around Thanksgiving. So you can say from post-Thanksgiving on, they could do a Friday night package, like a Friday night game of the week for like the whole month of December. They could possibly add that to their schedule. That could be the next, you know, hey, where can we get another window so we can get a package for Apple TV Plus Friday nights in December? You want four Friday night games? Actually, there's a game into January now. So you can get probably five Friday night games if you really wanted to and put a whole package together for one of these streaming services. Heck, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a network out there that said, you're going to give us five games on Friday night? We'll take it.
Yeah, and I think they're starting to combine some of these companies. Like I saw something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Netflix. Yeah, they're doing
Netflix, Apple TV Plus, and Peacock, I think, are bundling together as the answer to Hulu. I've lost track, but
that all depends, you know, Comcast is behind that. that bundle, which is supposed to be include Peacock, and obviously that's the easy part because Comcast owns Peacock, but also includes Apple TV Plus and Netflix. So we have to see how that's unfolded because Netflix has more money than anybody right now.
Well, the cable, not to get into a whole cable thing, but the cable services bit their nose to spite their face, and they're crying that the cable service is going away and they're not getting their carriage fees. Well, you created streaming services of your own so that people can leave you to go to your streaming services. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, that's kind of, they were behind the eight ball. We're getting in the weeds, but they were behind the eight ball on streaming. And now they've sort of, they're trying to regain their footing. So if you look at a company like Peacock, because Peacock's going to hold the first, it's going to have the Eagles game. It's going to be on Peacock in Brazil. Obviously, you have a local component here, so you don't have to worry about it. But everywhere else in the country, it's going to be on Peacock. That Peacock by itself is losing a boatload of money.
Billions.
For Comcast and NBC. But overall, those are very strong companies, and they know, they understand where the future is going now. But they were kind of behind the eight. They didn't know it originally. Now they're trying to gather their feet and understand, well, people are cutting the cord. As we said, it's easier to stream. It's less expensive. And they got to readjust and go in that direction. So that's where we are right now.
Well, they're all going back towards giving you a cable package, but just like a smaller
streaming. It's exactly.
By the way, it's Max, Hulu, and one of them, but Warner Brothers Discovery's in there. It's like ESPN, Warner Brothers Discovery. So it's like there's going to be a package somewhere, I would imagine, that's out there that hasn't been created yet.
By the way, if you end up getting every single one of these packages, you're going to end up spending more money than cable.
Well, and I'll tell you where the next package could come, guys. I talked about Friday nights in December, you know, the last 5 weeks into January is like a Friday night thing. That could be something, but when they go to 18 games and there's a London game or a international game every week, some network can get the international package and do that 9:30 game every single week. That's a whole nother window that we're looking at as the next possible evolution.
I've always thought, you know, people talk about teams and back in the day before Jacksonville kind of worked things out with the city there. There was a lot of talk that the Jacks, because the Cons have a, you know, they own a soccer team. They have a lot of things going on in London. And, you know, I always thought that's a logistical nightmare. You can't put a team over there. But you can do what you just said, Mike, and have a game every week.
Yep.
And everybody's got to go and do it that way. And then you have another broadcast window. I think that's potential.
Yeah, I know Colin Thompson has said many times that like, he doesn't think that it would work. The free agents wouldn't go there, all that stuff. Yeah, but
the people would have to live there. You know, it's a whole thing. The logistics don't work out. But if you make every team go once a year and do it that way, it makes it difficult for the schedule makers, but you could do it in theory. Yeah,
absolutely. And when they go to 18 games, two buys, I think you'll see the 18 international games to go along with it.
It's possible. It's possible.
It's crazy where the NFL is going with all this. But, I mean, there's still so much upside for them to make money. They love the international market because that's, you know, the cash.
Well, and that's what I don't think there is. That's part of the problem. Jeffrey Lurie's evolution on this subject has been, you know, he hated international games when they first started. He fought to not go. He didn't want to give up home games, certainly. And now he's embraced it because, look, I don't think there's a lot of room for growth in North America. They got to get outside. Yeah. So that's why there's such a focus on international, where there's tremendous potential.
So there's a lot of buzz out there that this Eagles week two will be Monday night against the Falcons. That is
Monday night is that I don't know the opponent, but I would bet on Monday night.
I don't know why. What is it like? The Eagles have to play Minnesota on Monday night every year. Now that Kirk Cousins is in Atlanta, they have to play him on Monday night.
It was week two of Minnesota.
Now week two. There's a lot of people putting that out there on
Yeah. Well, many different careful platforms. The schedule leaks, but if it's, you know,
the week two Monday Night Football makes sense.
Yes. I would bet on Monday. And you probably want Kirk Cousins early because, you know, he's coming off the Achilles and who knows if he's 100%. So that would be a good spot for the Eagles. But week one, yeah. I mean, to me, I look at themes, Mike. At Mike Gill Show, make sure you follow Mike on X. Does a tremendous job. Listen to him today. ESPN South Jersey, 97.3, 2-6. We just spent a whole lot of time talking about logistics. To me, that doesn't matter that much. It matters. The themes of the schedule matter. Like it's a theme you're giving up a home game to a potential playoff combatant. That to me is a big deal because if you lose that game, that's going to affect your seeding probably down the road if you're going where you think you're going. And then I mentioned very difficult AFC opponent division this year with the AFC North, but the NFC South isn't as difficult, but it's getting better. You mentioned, I mean, Atlanta wasn't good last year with Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heineke. Say what you want about Kirk Cousins. If he's healthy, they're more dangerous.
Right, so they won 7 games last year with Ridder. How many games is Cousins worth to them? You know, I would say at least they win 2 extra games because they have competent quarterback play, and that gets them to at least 9, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay, the Eagles can't beat them in the playoffs. They're not a bad team. They're always good defensively with Todd Bowles. The Saints are kind of, you don't know where they're going to go.
But the game's down there, which is always tough.
Yeah, not a big fan of Dennis Allen, but they have good players, good talent. Carolina's the one weak team that you should say, and that's a home game as well.
By the way, I think that's the only home game on your schedule that you feel like is, I don't want to say a gimme, but every other home game is going to have some challenges. There's not a home game. You know, you got the Giants and Washington, but they're division games. I'm talking about the non-division games. That's a pretty
Jags, Steelers, and Falcons. Yeah, and Browns.
That's a pretty good home schedule in terms of challenging. That's a pretty challenging home schedule. I think their road schedule is easier to navigate than the home schedule.
Well, Mike, what storyline for their opponent sticks out to you the most outside of the NFC East? To me, it's Lamar versus Jalen, the two primetime dual threat quarterbacks battling in Baltimore. What do you like?
I'll give you two. 5 number one overall picks quarterbacks you're playing against. You've got 5 guys who were drafted number one overall and 1 guy that was drafted number 2 overall this year, Jaden Daniels. But you'll have Bryce Young in Philadelphia. You get Matthew Stafford. Off the top of my head, I don't remember all of them, but I did this yesterday. 5
Trevor Lawrence is the one in
Philadelphia, right? So overall, 5 number one quarterbacks, a number 2. Plus, you know, and that doesn't count. Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, some of the veteran quarterbacks. So pretty interesting quarterback class. You're also facing, I believe it's 5, pretty sure, Super Bowl winning head coaches this season. You got Doug Peterson. You've got Sean McVay. You've got Mike McCarthy. Not that anybody's all that. But, you know, so you got a couple teams that have pretty good leadership as well. I think it's a challenging schedule overall. I mean, yes, they play that NFC North, which kind of lessens it a little bit. But the second place schedule, the Rams will be interesting. You know, they've gone out to L.A. The Eagles haven't pretty much handled business. It seems like anytime they go to L.A., that's not like a big road problem. That's why I think their road schedule.
Yeah, they take over. Everybody takes over Los Angeles.
I do think the road schedule is easier to navigate than their homes. I think they have a pretty challenging road.
I don't know. I mean, you got Baltimore on the road, Cincinnati on the road, right there.
Those
might be the two toughest tests of the year.
Yeah, I'm not saying every single game is easy, but I think the bulk of the road games are less challenging than your home schedule.
And Dallas, obviously, but the Eagles can't win it.
But yeah, the quarterbacks, you always look at the quarterbacks, Xander, and they play five number one overall picks and a number two overall pick. So
yeah, the other two, by the way, to finish out for you, were Burrow and then Mayfield. Mayfield was a number one overall
pick. Yeah, Joe Burrow. Yes, remember that guy. And by the way, one guy who wasn't a number one overall pick, Lamar Jackson. You're facing him. So the quarterbacks.
Eagles could have had him.
They traded that way. The quarterbacks that they will face this year, you mentioned just Jackson against Jalen, but the slate of them, they all is a very talented slate of quarterbacks for the most part this season. You're going into every week where, you know, before you'd say, they'll confuse this young guy. They do good again. There's not a lot of those. Jaden Daniels is the number two. Bryce Young is the former number one. Those guys have a lot of talent. They might be young, but there's a lot of good quarterbacks on the schedule this year.
Hey, Mike, I forgot to ask you. I have to ask you real quick about, if I told you in 2017 Jared Goff was going to get the monster deal and Carson Wentz was trying to stay in the league, keep his head above water, you would have called me crazy, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Nobody, I mean, when that whole thing materialized. Now, keep in mind, Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl. He got the Lions to an NFC championship game. I mean, I'm living in a world right now. I talked about this the other day, the ESPN.com power post-draft power rankings. The Lions are number four. I'm living in a world where the freaking Detroit Lions are the fourth best team in the league. That's a scary world to be living in. That is a sign of something bad.
They had Eagles at five.
Eagles were five, yes. Yeah. The Eagles were five. The Lions were four.
Lions are a very good team, man.
I'm not saying the Lions aren't a good team. I'm agreeing with it, but I'm just saying to everybody out there, we're living in a world where the Lions are the fourth best team this league has. Something bad could happen.
I wonder if there's an emphasis on, and I wonder this, do teams put too much emphasis on getting these, like, superstar quarterbacks? And when I say superstar, I mean – the Justin Herberts of the world, the guys with this uber talent, but you start to see like guys like Brock Purdy, guys like Jared Goff. I think even a guy like Jalen Hurts, you put all the pieces around him, you get from an organization, your structure right, you have just as good of a chance to go to a Super Bowl, I think, as if you have.
Well, you know, it depends on, you know, if you believe in the guy. Like Mike brings up the fact that, you know, Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl and he did. But even Sean McVay didn't believe in him because he wanted to go in a different direction.
Yeah, and it ultimately worked out for him. He won a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. Yeah.
Ultimately worked out for both, to be honest. But
yeah, it did.
I'm with you. It's very unlikely you're going to get Patrick Mahomes, so you might as well try to develop the guy you do have. And I think a lot of teams don't do that.
Yeah, I agree.
I say all the time on draft day, these teams sell their soul on draft day to draft guys that are not first round quarterbacks. I think on draft day,
three of them this year.
Yeah,
three of them.
The draft day, there was that gap between Bo Nix and then the next quarterback in like the fourth round. I said that's because half these teams drafted a fourth round quarterback in the top 10. These teams, they have no business being drafted where they are, these quarterbacks.
And some of the guys, like I think it started with JJ. There's JJ McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix to me are second round picks. I'll be honest. Now, I think Nix has a chance to be successful because he gets matched up with Sean Payton.
Right.
I think McCarthy's got a chance because he's got Kevin O'Connell. I don't like Michael Penix's opportunities at all. He's got he'll have the luxury of waiting behind Kirk Cousins, but he's got a defensive head coach. I don't like that. If you're drafting a guy in the top 10, I want to do everything I can to make sure that player hits. But those are guys that shouldn't be in the first round, and they're in the top 12 because teams are so desperate
to
put themselves in these positions.
Does Zach Wilson beat out Bo Nix because he was the number two overall pick, by the way?
I think no. I think because he's been ruined. And that's another thing. I think you see.
Well, Sean Payton, man, say, hey, I'll take this kid and I'll fix him.
Yeah. And Zach Wilson, he does have an arm. He's got a freaking cannon.
And he can move. He's mobile. I mean, he just was in a terrible situation. That offensive line was horrendous.
But while I say that, Like, if you gave Andy Reid, say, Spencer Rattler, you know, and he didn't have Patrick Mahomes, I'd have more confidence in Spencer Rattler than any of those three quarterbacks.
By the way, that the reports about how teams were worried about him because of that TV show, thank the Lord that there are people that have a brain, because that guy on that show sucked at life. He was terrible. He was so bad on that show, and I'm glad that it has stuck with him throughout this, because you can't act like that, man. You can't act like that and think that like if you're at that high profile and think that that's going to be okay. Now, maybe he's been to two different colleges. He's been okay in college. I was never that impressed with him. South Carolina.
No, I know by no means am I saying I'm impressed by him. I'm just saying situation matters. And if you get somebody with some talent around Andy Reid, you got a better chance than if you got somebody maybe even with a little more talent around a coach that's not going to be able to take advantage of.
Now, listen, he was a kid at the time, but I hope he grew up. I hope he grew up and learned from that, because maybe he was talented enough to be drafted higher, but a lot of people reported that kind of, you know, threw them off. But watching him now, this was, my girlfriend's son was watching the show. I was like, man, this kid will never be on a team I'm coaching. And that's kind of stuck with him. Where was he before South Carolina?
Oklahoma.
Do you guys remember the Ben Simmons when they followed him around?
Yeah, I do remember that Ben Simmons. Yeah. Ironically, you talk about Jared Goff now and Ben Simmons. You got Brandon Ingram, who was the number two pick and has been pretty good in that draft. But there's a lot of buzz, obviously, about the Sixers possibly getting him. How ironic that would be. But Jared Goff, to get that deal, good for him, man. But that shows you a good leader and a guy that the team rallies behind. The city has rallied behind that kid, and what that means to turn a franchise around.
Yeah, and they've given him a good team, which, to my point earlier.
Yeah, that helps. They got a good offensive line. They got good weapons. They got a good running game. Yeah, I mean, Detroit's, I would say, they were so bad for so long. And then you wake up one day, they're drafting in the top 10 every year, and you say, wow, they got a lot of good players.
They stopped drafting wide receivers.
Yeah, eventually.
But they drafted wide receivers in the first round for like three straight years. Charles Rogers.
Calvin Johnson, they got.
Calvin Johnson. That one worked.
Yeah. It worked. Didn't get them what they wanted, but it worked.
Yeah. Well, they had no quarterback, no offensive line, and nothing else.
Yeah.
But they've done a really good job. And Arnold's going to – they got two corners out there. That was the spot they needed help at last year, and they went and got Rakestraw and Arnold. So that team is going to be tough. So they deserving of the number four spot, but we're living in a world where they are the fourth best team, and that's scary.
And they should have – hey, they should have beat San Francisco last year.
Yes, they should.
To be honest, they outplayed them.
Yeah, they took a big early lead in that game, didn't they? They were up, I want to say 14.
Yeah, Dan Campbell went for a bunch of fourth downs, and they didn't execute, and he got a lot of crap for that. But that's how they played all season, and they put incredible stress on you by doing that. Very good team. Yeah, watch out for Detroit. Very good team.
Yeah, the one other NFC team I'll say to watch out for is the Commanders. I think they're going to jump the Cowboys as the number two in the NFC East. Maybe not this year, but next year, because I think the Cowboys are in la-la land. They're not signing anybody. Dak Prescott's still not signed. CeeDee Lamb's still not signed. Who knows what's happening with them? I like that Jaden Daniels guy, the Commanders got. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the two teams, I like what Washington did in the draft. I think they've had a good offseason. I don't know that they're ready, as you said, to make that jump this year. But Green Bay is obviously a team that's going to make the big jump, but I kind of like Atlanta. I like what Atlanta has kind of done, and they, like I said, they won seven games last year with terrible quarterback play. If Kirk Cousins comes back from that injury, that's a team that could probably win 10, 11 games in that division.
That's why I didn't understand the Penix pick. Like, you're in a position.
I'll tell you why.
Get a player that can help your team.
Well, here's my thoughts on the Penix pick. And it's not that, like, this is like, I think they felt that Cousins was good enough to get them to 10 wins. So now they're kind of stuck in that wild card area, which means you're in the draft in the middle. So you can't get that next quarterback. So they said, the heck with it. We'll just go get that next quarterback now while we're stuck in the middle. And hopefully we're in the middle and this guy takes us to the next level. Because I think they understand Cousins is good enough to get us to like 9, 10, 11 wins. And then when he's 39 years old and done, now we have the next guy instead of having to draft that guy at number 17 or 18 or trade up to go get picked. So it's kind of a preemptive move.
It's like a Jordan Love move almost, except they took Jordan Love later in the first round.
What did they say? You know, the best time to draft a quarterback is when you have one.
Yeah, Andrew Brandt says that all the time. But he also acknowledges that there's a real world effect on people. And for all the talk about Green Bay, it was ugly with Brett Favre at the end. It was ugly with Aaron Rodgers at the end. Kirk Cousins is already pissed off. There's a human being effect versus the vacuum effect. I think your point, Mike, from a vacuum is the correct one, but you got to deal with people, and people get pissed off when you do shit like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if Jordan Love pans out, that's going to be, John, you always talk about how they went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame quarterback play.
I'm not the most spoiled
Hall of Fame.
I say, you know,
he was good last year.
Green Bay's the most spoiled fan base in the NFL because they have no idea what it's like to look for a quarterback. An entire past a generation of people. You know, people remember Lynn Dickey, and they knew the pain of other NFL teams. They have not had that pain for 30 plus years. And it looks like, damn it, they got it right again. Because I think Jordan, I'm not going to say Jordan Love's going to be those guys, but he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he looks damn good. And I like their coach they have who's calling the offensive mind of Matt LaFleur. So,
all right, we kept you late. I apologize, Mike.
All right, Gil, we kept you real long.
That's because you're so in engaging to talk to. So it's a compliment. So
make sure follow Mike on Twitter, everybody, at Mike Gill Show, and listen to him on 97.3 ESPN down the shore from 2 to 6 on the Sports Bash. Mike, thank you, man.
All right, everybody. See you.
See you, man.
There's Mike Gill joining us. Good 45 minutes with Mike Gill. So good stuff there. Got into the weeds a little bit with the networks and stuff, but pretty good stuff overall. Johnny Mac, we'll take a quick timeout. Coming up in 9:20, we have BLG. But I want to talk offense with you, Eagles offense, that is. I want to talk Jalen Hurts and see what they have to do or what the expectation is for them to do this year. Johnny Mac, I'm starting to feel, and you talked about this last year, I'm starting to feel expectations on this team are too high. Everybody's like Super Bowl or bust.
Well, that is correct already. I've been talking about that for a while.
I thought it would be tempered after you collapse in the last, 7 or 8 games of the season, but
yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. I think the Eagles should try to temper it. Stop talking about special players and different. Just let it play out.
Maybe the expectation on the inside is what it is on the outside.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up next on Bird 365. I want to thank everybody in the chat for listening. If you enjoyed Mike Gill, if you enjoyed hour number one of Bird 365, make sure you drop us a like. Coming up in 10 minutes or less, Brandon Lee Gowton. So we'll talk to him in hour number two. Stay tuned here on Bird 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.